Lord, I pray that you fill Pastor Mejia with your spirit, Lord, and allow him to preach boldly and clearly. And also, Lord, I pray that you allow us to hear your word, Lord, being preached, Lord, and allow us to be edified. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 15 this evening. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 12. It says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14 says, Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And the title of the sermon this evening is Blind Leaders of the Blind. Blind Leaders of the Blind. Now, sometimes you just wonder why people are just so enthralled with bad churches, right? You just wonder, why is it that this person keeps attending this church or this teacher or this pastor? Why do they keep listening to false doctrine? Why, when they sit there in a congregation with Bible in hand, with the truth being, you know, expounded or from other preachers, why is it that when they listen to these pastors or these preachers, why do they remain in those churches? Why is it that the Church of Mormon has full attendance? You know, why is it that they sit under that type of preaching and just love it? You know why? Because it's the blind leading the blind. Right. Why is it that the Jehovah's Witnesses, why do they have their congregation filled with members? Because it's the blind leading the blind. Why is it that Joel Osteen has an entire football stadium filled with people who just love his preaching? I'll tell you why. Because it's the blind leading the blind. Obviously, we understand that these pastors are blind. These people are not saved. These false prophets are wicked people. But you know what? The people in the pews are often the same exact way. And that's why they love the type of preaching that's coming from those pulpits. It's the blind leading the blind. Today, we have churches filled with blind followers following blind leaders. You know what? I think of also, I mean, obviously, when you think of Mormon churches, yeah, that's obvious, right? You think of, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Catholic Church, Pentecostal churches. It's like, yeah, that's obvious. It's blind leading the blind. But you know what's sad is when you see independent fundamental Baptists, so-called, yeah, right, with the blind leader, and you have people in the pews who have a King James Bible open. They see what the Bible says, and yet they still desire to hear that lame preaching. They still desire to be under lame leadership. Why is that? Well, it's because it's the blind leading the blind. And independent fundamental Baptist churches is not an exception to this rule that we see here, okay? And we'll get into that in just a bit. Blind leaders that lead blind followers off a cliff. You know what Jesus said about that? You know, he didn't say, go reach them. Go start a ministry to go reach these people. Help them to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. Help them to realize that their leader is wicked. No, you know what he said? Let them alone. He says, they're going to fall into a ditch. Both of them are going to fall into a ditch. He didn't say, oh man, you need to pray for those people to get out of that stupid church. You know, we need to pray for the people over in Jacksonville. You need to pray for the people in Tyler Baker's church. You know what he said? Just leave them alone. They're both going to go into a ditch. Why? Because God is using blind leaders to lead blind followers who hate the truth. Okay? He says, let them alone. Now, here in Matthew chapter 15, we find the Lord giving a strong rebuke to the religious leaders of that day. And the rebuke was basically that they weren't saved. And you know what? We can, a casual reading of the New Testament in the Gospels, we can come to the same conclusion that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, these people were not saved, right? They had a works-based salvation. Jesus Christ said himself that they were children of the devil. And this is not the only time that he said that they were blind leaders. In fact, when he's constantly rebuking them in Matthew 23, he says, woe unto you, blind guides. You know, it's kind of like an oxymoron, right? Because they're a guide to those who are blind, but yet they themselves are blind themselves. So it's like, where are you leading them to? Well, according to the Bible, they're leading them into a ditch. Now, why does he refer to them as blind leaders? Well, the same reason why he refers to any unsaved person as being blind. This is synonymous with someone who doesn't believe. Okay, so when the Bible talks about someone who is spiritually blind, it's often talking about two types of people. And I'm going to go over the first one here in the beginning. He's referring to those who just don't believe. They're blind in their minds. Now go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Spiritual blindness has nothing to do with the ability to physically see with our eyes, but rather with our mind, okay? And often the Bible will, you see that Jesus Christ is, you know, he is doing a lot of miracles. He's healing the deaf. He's healing the blind. And though that literally happened during his ministry, that was actually symbolic of what? Salvation. Right. Now, why is that? Well, because look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, every single human being in this world is blind. Blind in their minds, right? I mean, they start off blind, that is. Okay? And it's not that they're physically blind, it's just they can't see the truth with their minds. And you kind of wonder, like, you know, once you get saved, you think to yourself, man, this is such an easy doctrine. You know, the simplicity of Christ is this, is that it's by faith alone. You don't have to do any works. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus, you know, thou shalt be saved. It's simple to just believe on Christ. And yet, you're at the door with someone. You explain that to someone. You show them the most simplistic verses dealing with salvation, and it just goes over their heads. Why? Because they're blind. That's why. You know, it's like trying to describe color to a person who was born blind, so to speak. You know, it's like trying to describe something visual to someone who's never seen it before, right? And it requires faith. And so, you know, part of the sermon is to help us to realize, hey, we need to be long-suffering towards people who are out there who are just blind, spiritually speaking. Don't get mad at someone if they are just spiritually blind and they have good intentions, but they've just been duped. They have a lot to overcome, okay? We have to be long-suffering with them. But obviously, there's people out there who are not that way. They're not only blind in their minds, but the Bible even says that their heart is darkened. In other words, you know, the people who are blind in their minds, these are people who, they want the truth. They've just been deceived by false religion. I mean, haven't you met Catholics out there who are sincere? They think that they're doing right. And you know what? They're open to listening to the gospel. These are people who want the truth. But then you run into other Catholics who just love their false religion. Yeah, yeah. And I ran into one, Milan and I ran into one today, where this lady, she was just this hardcore Catholic. And boy, did she know her Catholic doctrine. She didn't know nothing about the Bible, but she knew her Catholic doctrine to a T. Okay? And, you know, I honestly, I just got to be quite honest with you, okay? The statement that this lady made goes down in history as one of the funniest things I've ever heard out soul winning. Okay? You know, because I'm trying to reason with her, and, you know, she's like, no, you got to keep the sacraments. Baptism is one of the sacraments. And I'm just like, and then she's actually the first Catholic, believe it or not, that I've met who actually believes in Abraham's bosom. Yeah. Most Catholics believe that Jesus went to hell, believe it or not. She's actually the first one who said, no, 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 no. Jesus went to Abraham's bosom. She started spewing that stupid doctrine. And I said, you know what? I would absolutely agree with you if it was in the Bible. I said, but it's not. And we're kind of going back and forth. And I was just trying to be really long-suffering and meek and kind and just kind of be fearful around her, so to speak. And then finally, obviously, you know, I was just thinking to myself, you know, she loves her Catholic doctrine way too much. She's not really wanting the truth. Because we're trying to give her the truth, and she's just kind of spewing out her own false doctrine, and she doesn't want to listen to the truth, okay? So at that point, I said, well, okay, well, you know, just watch the video right there when you have a chance. And then she said this. She said, well, no, you know, I think it's great what you guys are doing. She's like, I think we should just all apostatize. You know, I think it's great. She's like, I think we should just all apostatize, you know? And then when she said that, you know, Milan was like standing right here, and I remember she said it, and I just looked at him like, did she really say what I think she said? And it was hilarious. Like afterwards, we were dying. We couldn't believe, like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know? She's like, I think we should all apostatize. I was like, all right, well, you know, if that's what you want. But what is that? That's someone who just loves the lie. You know? And I try to show her, look, this is what the Bible says. And she goes, well, you need to go on this particular radio station where they teach Catholic doctrine or whatever. And I'm like, fooey with that. What about the Bible? She's like, yeah, but St. Jerome. She kept talking about this guy, Saint Jerome, and we're just like, we don't know who that is. You know what I mean? What about the Bible? She was blinded. But I'll be honest with you, that's a very rare case when you find a Catholic like that. To be honest, in my opinion, you know, most Catholics that I run into, they're blind, but they want the truth. And they want the light of the glorious gospel to shine unto them. And they just need someone to show them from the Bible. Because most Catholics, they believe the Bible, right? They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, they just need to be taught that it's not by works, it's not by the sacraments, it's by faith alone in Christ. Now, here's the thing. So spiritual blindness has to do with that. Now, look at Matthew 15, in verse 37, it says, Jesus said unto them, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Oh, I'm sorry. Go to John chapter 9, if you would. Sorry, that's the wrong scripture. Go to John chapter 9. John chapter number 9. So we're talking about the Pharisees here, and they're a different type of a blind than what you run into when you're out there soul winning, okay? Because most people are blind. They need to be shown the light of the glorious gospel. They need to be enlightened, right? Yep. And that's why it refers to being, you know, a person who's unsaved as someone who's blind, because they need to be enlightened to the truth. Now, here's the danger, is that sometimes people will be brought to that point of enlightenment where they see the gift of God, they understand the truth, and let me say this, some people just say, no. I don't want it. I want to stick to my doctrine. And you know what happens? That person runs the risk of becoming a reprobate, according to Hebrews chapter 6. Because they tasted of that heavenly gift. I mean, they were like right there. They were close to, you know, allowing the scales to fall from their eyes where they can see the truth, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be enlightened. And in fact, it almost refers to them as being enlightened. So they're right there. And you know what? In spite of the truth, in spite of the fact that the Spirit is bearing witness to the truth, they say, no. Pride. Hating the truth. And you know what God says? Okay, if you want to be blind, stay blind. And in fact, I'll help you out with that. You'll stay blind for the rest of your life. You'll stay blind for the rest of your eternal life. Eternal death, right? Because look, blind people out there who are not saved, they can still receive their sight, right? They still have an opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be enlightened, to know what the truth is. But there's people out there that chance, that train has come and gone. The opportunity is over. Now, in John chapter 9, in verse 37, this is the story of the blind man, right? And again, this is a picture of what we see throughout the Gospels of people being healed of their blindness, and that is symbolic of salvation, allowing them to see the truth. And look, what better person to see with your own eyes than Jesus Christ for the very first time, right?
Right.
I mean, these people who are being healed of their blindness, the first person they see is Jesus Christ himself. And look, any person who is blind in this lifetime and they get saved and they die, that's the first person they're going to see too, right? We see that, and so he heals this blind man. The religious leaders are mad. They're angry that he's doing this. And look at verse 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Man, that's deep. He's like, I'm here so that those who can't see might see, that they might be saved, and that those which see, referring to the Pharisees, might be made blind. What does that tell us? It's telling us that someone is making them blind. They're not making themselves blind. They refuse to see the truth, and God says, all right, I'm just going to make you blind. He goes on to say in verse 40, and some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto him, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In other words, you're not going to receive forgiveness in this lifetime. Your sin will stay with you. You know, this is the condemnation that he's giving them there. And as I mentioned, the blindness of the Pharisees actually extends further than that. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. And look, folks, we should have no love for these people. You know, somehow people have this disconnect between the wicked people of the Bible and people of today. And they think, well, only wicked leaders like the Pharisees can only exist during the Bible. But they don't necessarily exist today. No, of course they exist today. There shall be false teachers among you, the Bible says. Even as there is false teachers in the days of the children of Israel, they shall bring in privily bring in damnable heresies, denying even the Lord that bought them, the Bible tells us. They're going to exist today. But people are just in complete denial of it. And they say, well, yeah, but not independent fundamental Baptist churches. I would say that that's basically the group of people that would have the most false prophets. You know why? Because of the fact that the devil knows that independent fundamental Baptists are effective soul winners. Yeah. They're preaching the word of God. And so they want to infiltrate that group of Christians to deceive people. And look, there's people out there who claim to be independent fundamental Baptists. Folks, there's people out there who claim to be new IFB who are false prophets. Okay? You know, Adam Fannin is one of them. I don't care what anybody says here. You know, I don't care. Well, we should give him the benefit of the doubt. I doubt his salvation. The guy is wicked. And I don't care what people say in the comments section. I don't care what people used to say in our church who used to back that idiot up. The guy is blind. His mind is blind and his heart is blind. The guy has been darkened. Well, what are you basing that off of? Yeah, well, obviously I'm basing it off of the things that he's done. But here's the difference, folks. When it comes to a regular church layman, obviously we're not going to judge them whether they're saved or not based upon their works. But when it comes to a pastor, a religious leader, yeah, the things that he's teaching judges him. That's what we judge that person upon, okay? You know, I don't see anywhere in the Gospels where Judas is denying, you know, believing on Jesus Christ. But you know what? We know he's a false prophet. We know he was a wicked person, a son of perdition, based upon what he did. People are like, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe he's the right guy. He's a good guy. Okay, then lead the blind. Maybe, you know, let them alone, let them fall into a ditch. And I have zero sympathy for people. Look, folks, when the truth is shown, when the truth is just explained and shown, the evidence is there, and people say, no, I don't want to believe it. Okay, then I say, it's the blind leading the blind. Right. Sorry, I thought you could see. Sorry, I thought you had vision. Sorry, I thought you could actually see with your spiritual mind and your heart, but apparently you're probably just as wicked as he is. So the blindness of the Pharisees actually extends further than that. Look at John chapter 12, verse 40, speaking to the Pharisees. Says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. So look, the Pharisees were Jews, right? And there were laymen, you know, Jews who followed these guys, and they were just as blind as they were. They were the ones who rejected Christ. So anybody who, you know, zealously follows Judaism and loves the traditions of the elders, loves the Talmud, they're just as blind as the Pharisees who God said that he had blinded their eyes. You know what? God has no problem with saying, let them alone, they're going to fall into a ditch. And in fact, the ditch that these people fall into is called hell. The bottomless pit. Right. Right. 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So look, this is a reason, this is a good reason why we should never look to Jews to understand the Bible. Right. Never look to an encyclopedia of Jews or a commentary made of Jews to understand the Bible. Why? Because they can't understand it themselves. Right. You have a better chance getting the scriptures explained by a babe in Christ than by a Jew. Right. Why? Because at least they can see. And at least they have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They're going to eventually come to the knowledge of specific truths in the Bible, but the Jews can't. They have a veil over their eyes. They have a veil over their mind. They have a veil over their heart. Okay? And by the way, this is why he tells them in Matthew 15, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's very interesting that he said that. Because whom the Father plants is referring to the fact that those whom he saves. Okay? You know, the Bible talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 John 3, 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Romans chapter 6 says this, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, when God plants you, you're no longer blind, right? You're once saved, you're always saved, but this is not the case with the Pharisees, and in fact, the exact opposite was true. Why? He actually rooted them. So they thought they were rooted in the fact that, you know, they were physical children of Abraham. You know, God basically came and took the axe to the root and rooted them out. You know, this is why the Bible says that these people are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They have no roots. They're dead. They're trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. But you know, we still see the Pharisees having a following. I mean, a large multitude still follow the Pharisees. And I'm sure there's disciples who wondered, like, why are these people still following these people? But you know what? Jesus, who's the source of all wisdom, understood it's just the blind leading the blind. You know, we need to go out and preach the gospel to those who still want the truth. But there's people who are just not going to want the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want it. They want to reject it. Let them fall into a ditch. You know, people who are just faithful to Judaism in spite of Jesus Christ being there. Now go to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, throughout the lifespan of our churches, we're going to have a lot of wicked people coming into positions of leadership, preaching, acting like they're saved pastors, you know. And once they get exposed, there's always going to be a segment of people who sympathize with them. There's always going to be a group of people, these idiots, who just want to ignore everything and just keep following them. You know, and they want to hate the man of God. They're despisers of those that are good. You know, they troll and they say all manner of evil. They rail and revile. Why? It's like, man, we need to pray for them, Pastor. We need to pray that God rescues them and helps them to not be under these pastors' spell. No, they're just as blind as they are. It's like, what in the world? If someone can sit under the preaching of Adam Fannin and love it, there's a problem with that, folks. Yeah. Number one, because the guy's preaching sucks. Yeah. Yeah. Number two, because he's preaching false doctrine. Number three, because he has no integrity. Right. How can you be under a man who has zero integrity? Yeah. Who's been known, who has questionable integrity, right? Has done wicked things. And has never been, you know, he's never been shown himself to be innocent. You know, oh yeah, but he's just, you know, look at him. Why do you guys keep talking about him? You know, you guys keep mentioning him. Yeah, because as long as he's around, we need to keep exposing him in order for people to know this fool's wicked. Yeah. Don't follow this idiot. And you know what? And if you keep wanting to follow him in spite of the truth, then go for it. Yeah. Move to Jacksonville. Move to his church, attend him, be his faithful member, and follow him off a cliff. Look at John chapter 10, verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now look, sometimes I preach some pretty hard truths in our church. We have visitors preach about the fags and the homos, or preach against the Jews, or whatever. You know, this is not controversial for us, but it's controversial for someone who is not very familiar with these things, right? And sometimes you'll have saved people who visit our church who they've never heard this. But you know what? Because they're saved, I've had them come up to me and say, "Thank you for teaching me that. I didn't know that." They can't deny it. Because they know, oh, that's the shepherd's voice. Not my voice, but the preaching that I'm doing that stems from the Bible. If they see that it's in the Word of God, they're not going to say, "Well, this is crazy. This is nonsense. I can't believe this," and still be a saved person. How can you? They're lovers of truth. So even if it gives them like some sort of shock initially, where they're just like, "Oh, yeah, this is crazy," they're not going to say it's false. Because I've had people come and they're just completely shocked. They're just completely like, "Whoa." But then, you know what? They don't tell me it's wrong. They just say, "I didn't know that." Whereas we've had people come to our church. And look, one time I was preaching, I can't remember what sermon it was, but I was preaching the sermon. And I just like mentioned the Jews. You know, every once in a while, I just mention the Jews. And it wasn't even like ripping hard on them. It was just like a passing thought. And this lady was sitting right where Alex was right there. And how many of you remember this? And then she was just like, no. Because I had said, like, the Jews are not God's chosen people. But it wasn't even the sermon. It was just like, you know, just a fact that I gave. And no one, I mean, people in our church are just like, you know, yeah, amen. They preach on, you know, they're just like, go on. Whereas this lady was just like, no, not true. And she just gets up and just walks out. And look, I think I was even like reading the scriptures to show that that's why they were not God's chosen people. But she literally just got up and walked out. Now, here's the thing is like, if that lady was saved, which I don't believe she was, even if it hits her like a ton of bricks, right? Even if the truth hits like a ton of bricks, you can't say that it's not true. You know, it just kind of like, man, that was heavy. But it's in the Bible. And I've had multiple people. I remember DJ's mom when she first came, okay? And she just happened to come on a day when I was just ripping on homos. And I was just like, this lady, this would be the last time she attends our church. Oh, well. You know, like this is just another day in the office. I was preaching on it. And I didn't know that she was coming. But you know what? And I thought to myself, I wonder what she's going to say. Because, you know, I'm kind of curious of how people are going to react, what they're going to say. And I said it, and then, like, after church, she came out, she was like, "Thank you very much for that. That was good." I was like, wow. You know, and we checked on her salvation. She was saved. She's been saved for quite some time. But you know what? The Spirit bears witness, and it resonates with the truth, no matter how hard it hits.
Yep, right.
And they're not going to deny it, okay? Look, when we talk about Ruckmanism being garbage and false doctrine, a saved person is not going to be like, "How could you say that? It's Peter Ruckman." Yeah, he's burning in hell today. A saved person, you may have a different opinion on this. I just have a hard time believing that a saved person will defend Peter Ruckman. Okay? I have a hard time coming to grips with that. If someone wants to, a saved person wants to defend Peter Ruckman, knowing what that man taught. And we're not just talking about some mild dispensationalists, because there's mild dispensationalists out there who are saved. I know some of them. Some of them are part of my family. They're mild dispensationalists, but they don't believe in dispensational salvation. In fact, I talked to one of them this week, and I said, "Hey, you're dispensational in your view of eschatology. You're dispensational in your view of the Jews. But are you a dispensationalist when it comes to salvation?" He said, "Absolutely not. In fact, I'm completely against that." That's a mild dispensationalist. But the hyper-dispensationalists, the hyper-dipsticks like Robert Breaker, Gene Kim, Peter Ruckman, these people are not saved. So I question when people just like are enthralled with their preaching. They love to hear it. Why? Because it's not the voice of the shepherd.
Right.
We know the voice of the shepherd. We know the truth. And even if you don't know it at that moment, when the truth hits you, you know it's the truth. Because the Spirit of truth shows you. You can't deny it. It can hit you like a ton of bricks, but you know what? You're not going to deny it. You're going to say, well, this is a hard saying, but it's still the truth. He says there, verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow. Well, that's interesting. But will flee from him, not become a member of his church. They will run, as Marco said a couple days ago, run into the mountains, right? Flee, run! Because it's a stranger. Are you saying that Adam Fan is not saved? Yes. He's a stranger. Now, let me make myself clear, okay? Where I stand on Patrick Boyle. I don't like him, okay? I'll just be honest with you. But I'm not going to say he's not saved, though. Because I don't know. When it comes to him, I don't know. And here's the thing. I rather say he's probably saved and then you know, be wrong later, find out he's not saved, than to say he's not saved and be wrong and he is saved. Good. Because I don't want to call saved people unsaved.
Right.
Yeah. It's a diss. It's a major insult, right?
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I don't like the guy. And if you don't know who Patrick Boyle is, just enjoy the ride right now, okay? I'll tell you why I don't like him, because he is friends with all these wicked people. And look, saved people can be friends with wicked people. That happens. I'm not saying that it's permissible. I'm saying that they can have a tendency to do that. You know, and if you're like buddy buddies with like a person like Adam Fannin, you're buddy buddies with flat earthers. You know, there's something wrong there. Okay, that's a church that is one French fry short of a Happy Meal. Okay, and look, if you're a flat earther in our church, you're an idiot. Yeah, if you are a flat earther in our church, and I don't think there's any flat earthers in our church, but if you're a flat earther, you're a complete stupid idiot. There, I said it. And if you don't like them, then go to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Where they love flat earthers there.
Yeah.
No flat tards in our church. Yeah. And look, is it any coincidence that flat earthers often are the biggest troublemakers in these churches?
Yeah,
bunch of idiots. And look, you tell me you're a flat earther, you come up to me after the service and tell me you're a flat earther, I'll tell you to your face you're an idiot. I'll say, you're an idiot. Get out of my face. Because you know we're against flat earth. You know all the evidence is put out there. You know that we're against it. Go somewhere else. Well, that's not about salvation. Yeah, but typically those who are flat earthers have a bunch of other issues. Doctrinal issues, integrity issues, a bunch of other issues. Now, if there's a flat earther in here who was a flat earther now, and after you hear this, you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to change my stance. Then okay. It's a globe, Pastor. It's a globe. A stranger will they not follow? You see, I don't have to worry that my church members are going to be duped by false doctrine. See, the old IFB, what they would do is this: they would, you know, if a certain pastor or preacher that they would deem as being a heretic or a false prophet, if it was seeping through the church, if it was permeating the church, they wouldn't preach against it. They would just tell their people not to follow them. Like, don't follow those people. I don't tell people to do that. I just teach them right doctrine. Like, aren't you afraid you're going to lose people to, like, these weird pastors out there? No, because if they love the weird pastors out there, then they need to go follow the blind.
Right.
Into the ditch. They need to do me a favor and go follow them off a cliff. I just let them alone. Why would I want to keep people like around like that anyways?
Right.
So I don't tell people, hey, don't listen to anybody out there. No, I just teach the right doctrine and I expect you to listen to the right people.
Amen.
Bottom line. You see, insecure pastors who don't want to preach the word of God, they don't want to preach doctrine, they just like tell, don't listen to Pastor Anderson, you know, don't listen to any of these preachers, don't go on YouTube, you got to be careful. And it's just like, why don't you just teach the right doctrine? Oh, that's right, because maybe it's not right.
Right.
Maybe you're teaching false doctrine, right? And lo and behold, Patrick Boyle is doing the same thing. He literally, after this whole ordeal, gets up and says, hey, get off of YouTube or get off of social media. And then he uses social media to put that clip. The fine irony. Why? Because he doesn't want anyone to hear about him being exposed. That's why. It's nonsense. I don't hate the guy. I just don't like him. The reason I don't like him is because why are you friends with a wicked person? I don't want to be friends with any wicked person. I don't want people to wonder, man, is Pastor Mejia cool with like Michael Johnson? Like, are you guys like friends? Do you have him pray after your service? You know, I never want people to question that. Because I want nothing to do with wicked people. I want people to know that I hate those people. Amen. And mark it down. I hate Michael Johnson. I don't think Michael Johnson's an unsaved, wicked reprobate. That's what he is. He's wicked. He's unsaved. He's a snake. He's a serpent. You know, and you say, why did he come out and say all these things? Because he's envious. That's why. And he recently preached a sermon against the podcast. He was against the podcast. These bunch of thugs. Bunch of thugs over here with their podcast. Pastor Mejia. The dude barely got a couple hundred views on that. No one gives him any heed because he's a complete idiot. His preaching sucks too. Why do you use such coarse language? Because he is a wicked person. That's why. You know, I don't want to be friends with people like that. The people I want to be friends with are righteous people. That's who I want to be friends with. I want to associate with righteous people, not blind people. I want to associate with people who, I want people who are able to see to influence me. And the only people that I'm going to associate with who are blind are those who I'm trying to reach for Christ.
Amen.
But if they're blind leaders, I want nothing to do with them. And you know what? I don't want our church to have anything to do with them either. That's why I got to say this every couple of weeks, you know? Lest ye think that it's okay to just be friends with Adam Fannin or any of these people, you know? And look, there's people that I'll tell you, you know, this person's wicked, you know? I don't think we should associate with these people. These people are wicked. There's other people who are just idiots. Well, I just say, if you want to associate with them, if you want to be their friend, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, I just think that person's an idiot. I don't want to associate with them, but you don't have to make that decision based off of me. Okay? Now, look, if someone's thrown out of our church, if they're excommunicated from our church because of heresy, because of sin, and you're rubbing shoulders with that person, I will call you out. Well, you know, we're trying to be like the Baptist police here. I thought you say you didn't care. Yeah, when you are rubbing shoulders with people that we have excommunicated, they're involved in fornication and drunkenness, and you just undermine the authority of the church, at that point, I have a problem with that. And here's the solution. Why don't you join them? I'm not going to, like, fight you on this. I'm just going to tell you, why don't you just go ahead and join them? Because I don't want drama people in my church, okay?
Right.
The church is drama as much as it is. We don't need extra drama. He says, and a stranger will they not follow, verse 5, but will flee from them, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know what bothers me a lot? Is when you see these videos of these wicked people, and you see the comments of the people, great sermon, pastor. Oh, awesome preaching, Tyler, Pastor Baker. Awesome, great truth, Adam Fannin. Awesome. I love it. We don't know the voice of strangers, so you know what we say? This preaching sucks.
Yeah.
Has no truth in it. It's garbage. Thumbs down. You click on their video and you just thumb. Well, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it. I already know what kind of person it is, I'm just going to give him a thumbs down. I already know he's going to spew garbage and heresy and stupidity. So just before I forget, just Thumbs down. Now, here's the funny thing, okay? Because he's telling this to the Pharisees. He's saying this to the Pharisees, and he's saying, look, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were they, which he spake unto them. They're like, what is he trying to say? It was like, point proven. He's explaining to them, you know, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they're just like, I don't understand what you're saying. And he's basically telling them, yeah, exactly. Point proven. Because you're not my sheep. Right. You know, you're not my sheep. I'm not your shepherd. You're wicked people. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now look, you know, and I'm going to keep talking about this because it's going on right now. And this has relevance to us today, okay? You can apply these truths today because this is going to happen until Christ comes back, okay? You know, that's why I don't really give heed to a lot of the people that listen to us online sometimes who don't go to independent Baptist churches. Or even if they do. You know why? Because sometimes those people can turn on you on a dime.
Right, right, right.
They'll turn on you on a dime. At the drop of a hat. Because you don't really know much about people through a YouTube comment.
Yeah.
Through a Facebook page, Instagram. You just don't really know a whole lot of people. You know, the people I know are the people who are here. I'm sure there's people out there who listen to us who are faithful people. They're awesome. They're saved. They're godly. They love the Lord. They love the preaching. But you know what? I'm sure there's tares in there as well. You know, and they often come out when a false prophet gets exposed. How dare you say that about our pastor? Well, your pastor's an idiot, so what do you want me to do? You know, so what I'm saying is this, is that there's blind leaders out there.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes there's people who are following them who are saved. Okay? But they're also blind. Because a Christian can be blind as well. A Christian can receive their spiritual sight in regards to salvation, but if they're not growing and adding to their faith virtue to virtue knowledge, the Bible tells us that they can be blind. You know, and forget that they were purged from their old sins, according to the Bible. And so what do they lack? Discernment. Because what we see, we're able to, you know, our eyes allow us to perceive things, to see and to discern reality, right? What's in front of us. Well, in like manner, our spiritual eyes helps us to discern both good and evil. The Bible helps us to discern these things. But you know, if someone's not in the Word of God, they're not growing, they have zero discernment. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. Man, doesn't it upset you that these people go to like Revival Baptist Church and, you know, Jacksonville and Orlando? Nope. Nope. If they can stay there for one service and love it, let them alone. It's where they belong. It's where they belong. You know, I want to care for those who actually want the truth. You know, I want to save those who want the truth. People out there who want to debate you, who just want to, like, waste your time, let them alone. You know, and that works for the soul winning mission field to churches. You know, because I remember thinking, like, when this all started, I'm like, man, these poor people over there. But then I'm starting to think, like, why are they still there?
Right.
Obviously, some people remain there because it's like, this is the only church that I have. You know? At which point, in my opinion, I'm like, well, move.
Yeah.
Like, if I were in that position, I'd be like, well, I'm going to California.
Amen.
I'd move. Because I don't want to be under a blind leader.
Yeah.
What are you going to learn? The guy has no discernment. What is he going to teach you? You know? Well, I'm sure he's teaching them some things. Look, folks, I want to be under a pastor that has some wisdom, some discernment, who's not, you know, being like Jehoshaphat, hanging out with wicked people. That's who I want to be under. Not under some pastor who he just does these questionable things, especially in regards to the Bible. And again, I'm not saying he's not saved, because I don't know. I'm going to assume he is, and I'm going to assume that he's just a blind Christian is what he is. You know, but that's the only benefit of the doubt I'm going to give him, but I would not want to listen to him. I would not want to associate with him, because obviously he has no discernment, no wisdom. See, there's blind leaders who are not saved, and then there's just blind leaders who are just hypocrites. Let me show you. Look at Luke 6. Now, here's what's great about, you know, Jesus when he makes statements is that they can have various applications to what he says. And he often will repeat things twice, and they both are in complete different contexts. They mean two complete different things. They have the same foundational meaning, but they have various applications to it. Because what we saw in Matthew 15 is dealing with unsaved leaders, right? But then there's also leaders who are saved, but they're just hypocrites. Let me show you. It says in chapter 6, verse 37, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Now, verse 39 is not its own thought. It's carrying over from verse 38. From verse 37 and verse 38, because you think of someone who has a mote in their eye, a beam in their eye, what are they? They're blind. They can't see clearly. And so if you have a leader who has a mote in their eye, or a beam in their eye, and the one following them has a mote, guess what? It's the blind leading the blind. How can a leader properly lead his congregation if he has not removed the beam out of his own eye? How is he going to take the mote out of the eyes of his congregants if he himself has a beam in his own eye? He's being a hypocrite. You know what the Bible says? It's the blind leading the blind. And they're going to fall into a ditch. "The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, while now thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast thou first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." I want to know, how's Patrick Boyer going to be able to preach against false prophets? Right. When he's got a massive beam called Adam Fannin in his eye. How is he going to be able to speak against flat earthers? Or here's a good one. How's Adam Fannin going to preach against flat earthers when his congregation is made up of flat earthers? He has a beam in his eye. His congregants have motes in their eyes. You know what's going to happen? They're both going to fall into a ditch. Here is the cost of compromise, folks. This man compromised, and I'm talking about Patrick Boyd, he compromised in order to grow his church and have more influence, and he did it at the expense of befriending wicked people. They both shall fall into a ditch. I'd rather just have a really small church than a church filled with flat earthers, Adam Fannin lovers. If this church was filled with flat earthers and Adam Fannin lovers, and I would say, everyone get the hell out of my church. And I call my family up to the front and I just preach to them. Because at least I could rest my head in my pillow at night knowing that I'm doing right. And I'm doing it the right way. Hey, at least I could rest my head on my pillow at night knowing that I got the beam out of my eye. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. This will be the last portion of scripture. And look, to you future pastors out there, don't be compromisers. Don't be these compromising pastors that when you go out, maybe your church doesn't grow as fast as you want it to. Maybe your YouTube channel does not grow as fast as you would want it to. Maybe your influence isn't extending as much as you would want it to. So what do? You compromise. You befriend wicked people. You know, Adam Fannin, right? He has this YouTube channel and it has like 20,000 subscribers. It's a lot. And the reason he has 20,000 subscribers is because he put out a video about Bill Gates and vaccines that got like 1 million views. It went viral. Got like 1 million views. But if you look at his sermon content, it's like no one cares about his sermons though. It remains the same. It was a bust. You see, someone who has like 20,000 subscribers, you should have a couple thousand views per video at least. But what it shows is this. He doesn't have anything of substance. He has zero. We want to make sure that our ministry, I want to make sure that my channel, we want to make sure that our soul winning has substance in it. Amen. It's not fluff. You know, if we go viral, may it be of substance. But if we never go viral, I still want to be of substance. We want to be the real deal. Not be fake, phony, compromising pastors and preachers. Okay? You know, oh man, I know there's a group out there that just hates Pastor Anderson. It's pretty big. If I can just get them on my side, they'll subscribe to my channel. They'll follow me. I can lead them. Yeah, lead them off a cliff. Lead them into the ditch. That's what's going to happen. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 4. Verse 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue into virtue, knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is to know the truth. To know the truth. And look, some people get caught up in a personality. You know, they get caught up in a person. They're not caught up in the Bible, they're caught up in a person. You know, and what happens if you're caught up in a person, you don't add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. Because knowledge says, this person is bad, this person is wicked, you need to separate from them. And you know what? If you're not adding to your faith virtue, which is holy living, you're just going to compromise and befriend whoever it is, no matter what they do. It says, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So what's the message today? Keep growing in your knowledge of the Bible. Keep growing in your love for truth. Because I'm not going to babysit you. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be able to discern between good and evil. You need to exercise your senses both to discern between good and evil. I'm not going to do it for you. You know, every once in a while I'll blow up and I'll talk about these guys. I'll blow up and talk about Eric Ballesteros, who pops up his crackhead little self up every once in a while on Facebook, talking trash about our church. Yeah, and I'll talk about it to remind us, these people are wicked. We should have nothing to do with them. They're blind people. Oh yeah, but now he's going to pop up because you said that, Pastor. Who cares? Who's following him? He doesn't even have blind people following him. You know, we want to make sure that we can still see, even after salvation, that we can still see, we can still discern that we're growing in this area. And look, folks, there's plenty of pastors out there, you know, that get old. You know what happens? They stop growing, and then they start compromising. You know why? Because they're blind now. They just can't see. They have all kinds of false doctrine in their church, all kinds of wickedness taking place, and they just can't see it. Don't be that way. You know, remain an individual who has their sight. You're still walking by faith, not by sight. You're still able to discern the truth. You're still able to see, this person is a bad person. I'm not going to follow this person. this is the truth, this is false. I'm going to go with the truth. I'm going to stick with that. Amen? Let's bow our heads in our word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, thank you for this truth. And Lord, thank you for making that distinction, because it almost seems as though you don't care about those blind people who follow the blind. And it's true you don't. In fact, you've commanded us to leave them alone, that they shall fall into a ditch. Help us to really take the effort that we put into, that we would put into caring for those people, to caring for those who are truly blind out there who want the truth. Out there soul winning, those who are enthralled in false religion. You know, they have been duped by Catholicism, by the Pentecostal churches, by the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they want the truth. We can go to them with the gospel and enlighten them. But those who hate the truth and they just want to keep following the lie, let them fall into a ditch. And we love you so much, Lord.